Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson. I'm in the studio today with my partner, Lee Kimball. How are you doing today, Lee?
I am beyond wonderful because we have another wonderful surprise
You brought us a wonderful surprise today. Well, someone else in the studio.
Yeah, and you know, the listeners, I've said it before, the listeners have often heard me say that I have four significant women in my life. I have my charming wife, Diane. I have my Beth. Well, up until last year, I had my mom, and you've often heard me speak of my wonderful daughter, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is in the house.
Hello, Lizzie.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
I still
How
call
are you?
Her Lizzie from when she was little, but Elizabeth is really more what you go by now, isn't it?
Yeah, Liz.
I'm
Lizzie.
So sorry.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Well, it's great to have you in the house. We're going to do a show today, and you know, we want to focus on the good part. But a lot of people in the world, especially at this time of year, start to feel lonely. It's a weird thing. But it's where some of us are gearing up for the holidays and we're gearing up to be happy, joyous, and free. Others are kind of sinking into themselves a little bit. And so I thought that this would be a good opportunity to talk about overcoming loneliness.
Well, it's also a time of year, I think, where it just becomes more, I don't know that it necessarily, maybe it does become more prevalent, but it gets more attention.
Yeah, I think that's true too. It's an interesting time of year because we move from doing our day in, day out activities to some big events coming up, whether it's a Thanksgiving holiday, a Christmas holiday, whatever it is that you celebrate with your people, it's your people coming together.
And it will also often bring back, and we've spoken so frequently about, about old patterns and old, not necessarily baggage, but just, you know.
Things that, old feelings that recur,
That are triggered, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, when we get separated from regular human interaction, we get lonely. And other times we can be on our own for long periods of time and not feel bad at all. And then there's the other times. And that's the ones I'm thinking about, where some of us are kind of sneakier with our feelings, Our feelings are sneakier with us, maybe is more fitting, because we can be surrounded by those we know and in a familiar place, but we feel
separated.
We feel separated. We don't feel a part of it all. We feel apart from.
Yep. And one of our whole premises is our belief that, you know, that we either live in connection or we live in separation.
Yeah.
There's really nowhere else.
I'm with you.
Elizabeth, and with the young people, I'm sorry, folks, I still call her Elizabeth. Do you see a lot of loneliness among your peers in younger people?
I think it kind of depends. I live in Boston, and I think around the wintertime, it's definitely, you're feeling real lonely, you get really disconnected, and it's kind of a hibernating thing. So people that tend to be around my age and stuff, we all kind of become really reclusive and lose connection with one another during this time, even though, you know, you have the holidays and whatnot that generally are supposed to bring people together. It's a little bit more difficult. It's beautiful here in Florida right now. I think that loneliness is something that everybody that's human feels.
Suffers from time to time. Yeah. You know, it's a real issue in modern America. And, as we grow in technology, we expand our horizons, but we also lose that personal touch and, the physical, personal touch of, you might be ordering your things online. You might not be going Christmas shopping this year at all. You did it all one night until you were up till 1:30 in the morning, but you got it all done and you did it all online and it will all arrive at your house and you didn't interact with any people for it. That's a change. That's a big change in modern America. Yeah.
And it also brings to mind one of the things that I've always found so fascinating when we've spoken about this is that this is much more a problem here in the United States or in the developed
In developed countries. Nations, right. Well, and research shows that, oddly enough, the two loneliest ages are the teenage years and the elder years. Mm-hmm. And it kind of makes sense to me as I'm watching the technological part, because the teens are so immersed in technology. You can hand them anything. You know, I get something and I say, "Will you put this together for me?" And a teenager can just bing, bang, boom, or hand them your phone and it's programmed and ready to go in 3 seconds, you know, well, 3 minutes maybe. And they'll be saying things like, "Do you want this? Do you want that? Do you want this? What picture do you want?" And you're like, "What? Where are all these questions coming from?" And they hand it back to you, and it's like your phone.
I just want it to work.
Yeah. But, you know, so teens are immersed in the technology with texting, video games, the computer connection via the internet, kind of. That's where a lot of their connection happens, is via cyberspace, you know. And the elderly are slow to pick up that technology. They're like, "Oh, no, I'm not. I have an old phone and it's enough for me." You know, they can call me on my landline. If they really need me, they'll call me there. They don't really want to know. They don't want Facebook. No. I don't go on Facebook. And not all, but many. And so in another way, they lose connection there, because sometimes the young people, that's how they're connecting. The younger folks, that's, you know, they're maybe they have kids in Boston. Like, you know, if you and Lizzie, let's use you as an example, Lee. Not that you're in the elderly group. Excuse me, I hope you're, right. you're in the middle. You're in the middle group, but nonetheless. But let's use you as an example. If you didn't text, Facebook, Skype, any of those things, would you have less connection with Lizzie?
Oh my goodness, I can't even conceive of it.
Yeah. Because that's the connection. So it can be used for connection, and it can be used against connection. You know, some of it is very positive, that we can connect with people that we normally couldn't have connected with. You know, Beth, as we're growing, I've been working on our strategic plan, and one of the things is these online secure meetings, and we want to do workshops online so that you could attend one of our workshops on a Saturday afternoon, even though you're in Boston, but you just come online.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to do now. My friend Mary Lee Weir has a company that does it. You know, mysecuremeeting.com is her company. And you can have a meeting. She uses it more for business professionals. But nonetheless, it will be a wonderful way for us to get our workshops out there to people that want them. I have people out of the state that listen to us on iHeartRadio that would love to attend our workshops but can't. That's in the works. We're working on that.
You know, you were speaking a moment ago about our seniors, and I'm sure Elizabeth will remember. A lot of time it's my dad, when my dad was alive, wanted so bad to be able to hop on it. And we bought him four different times. We bought him computers. And I would get so frustrated trying to get him to just be able to understand the basic rudiments of it. And he just couldn't get his head around it, no matter how bad he... I mean, do you remember, Elizabeth?
I do.
Well, I remember saying, this is silly, but I remember saying to someone, I bet in 100 years, one of the evolutionary changes will be that our thumbs will be longer.
Judge Judy was just saying that the other evening.
because the reality is people need them to text, yeah, and to do the things. You know, my kids can text with two thumbs. I mean, I can type fast. I took typing in high school on an IBM Selectric, which my parents thought was, wow, look at this electric typewriter she's using. It's really cool, you know. So I'm a pretty quick typist. But when I type, even on my computer, I use all my fingers. I don't use a couple of them. But my kids can type as fast as I can with just a couple of little fingers going.
You know, Elizabeth is not a teenager. Elizabeth is 27 years old, but I've been watching it. It's fascinating.
It is. It's big. So this is it. So technology is just one of the avenues that we've lost connection with each other. And so we've kind of gone off on a tangent there.
But gain connection also. But yeah, we'll get back to that.
Yeah. And you can gain connection and you can lose connection. And it just depends on where you're at. So this is some of the stuff I want to talk about. These are the things that we're going to be looking at today. Solution. How can we use some of the things for the good? You know, loneliness and depression are two distinct mental health issues. But commonly, oddly enough, the lonely are depressed and the depressed are lonely. And yet the causes and treatments are completely different. So if you're looking for that, I want to ask you this. Are you listening to the sound of my voice? Do you find yourself wandering into depression here and there? Is it a form of loneliness? Is it something that you're just not connecting as well as you used to? Or you're moving toward the busy time of year where you're thinking, oh, this is all coming up and I just don't want it. Kind of like stop the world. I want to get off for a little bit.
Can you recognize it as having been a pattern in your life?
Right. So that's what we want you to first identify that. Is loneliness something you're dealing with? Is depression something you're dealing with? And if it is, we want to talk about solution today. We don't want to talk. I can tell you, I've studied so much about loneliness and depression, and I can read reports from university studies and from different things to tell you about how many people are depressed. You know, that I think it's 38% of Americans say they're lonely today.
But you guys know.
But you know personally, you know in your heart. And if it's not you, it might be a friend of yours. It might be your child. It might be your mother. It might be someone you're caring for or someone you care about, because loneliness strikes many of us at different times. So let's talk about solution today, because that's, you know, if you're feeling stuck in the lonely pit, what can you do? And those are some of the things I wanted to talk to. Does that sound good to you today,
yeah,
Liz?
Sounds great.
You with us on that?
I'm on it.
We're going to pull out the toolbox and add some new tools.
Sounds good. Before we do that, we're going to take a short little break, and we'll be right back. And we're going to talk about overcoming this thing we call loneliness. Stay tuned with us today.
And we're back.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson in the studio with Lee and Liz Kimball. We have two Kimballs in the house today.
That's a frightening thought.
I'm in trouble.
And we're talking about loneliness. The first thing I want to say, if you're listening, loneliness, is it a fact or is it a feeling? That's what I want you to think about. Loneliness, is it a fact or is it a feeling? So let's start at the beginning. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you isolated and alone? If so, the first step is going to be to begin interacting. You know, things like joining a group or a club or something like that. That can help those who are suffering from a temporary state brought on by a situational stance. But if you answered yes to being isolated and alone, you might need help. So I'm going to say that first. You might need help from a qualified therapist or a counselor or some kind of healer. We've talked recently, we had a specialist last week on the show about talking about NET, neuro-emotional technique. We have another specialist planned for early next month. We're going to have Dr. Andrew Dobo, who does EMDR, on the show. And we're going to talk a lot about EMDR. Those are two things that I recommend to people because I've seen them work in people's lives.
I've experienced it. I'm telling you, it's and once again, you know, can you tell me in detail how a microwave works? Probably not, but you'll probably tell me it works.
Right, but it heats my food. That's
it
all I know.
Heats my food.
Yeah, and you know, so that's kind of what we're talking about. There's support groups out there. You know, perhaps your loneliness is because you've lost someone that you were building a life with, or someone that you treasured, maybe a child, or someone that shouldn't have died before you. And you're going through grief and it doesn't seem to be minimizing. Maybe you need a grief support group. You know, they're out there. There's groups of alcoholism. One of the key ingredients to alcoholism is isolation. If you're sitting at home right now listening to the sound of my voice and you have a cocktail in your hand, I'm not judging you. I'm telling you, an AA meeting might make you feel better. It doesn't mean you have to stop drinking. Just go and see that there are other people that know how you live and have been there, and they don't have to live like that anymore. These are some of the ways you can get help if it's a fact. If your loneliness is a fact, you are isolated and you are alone, chances are good you're going to need some help. And it's going to be more than just a radio show that's going to make you feel better. It's going to be more than just some little tips that will help you feel better. There are two kinds of loneliness. There's trait loneliness and there's situational loneliness. Most loneliness we suffer from is situational. It happens because something happened first. But trait loneliness can be genetic, and it can be something that you have to learn to overcome, and you'll need some help with that. So that's the first thing. Sometimes what you need is a spiritual hookup. Don't, you know, turn off the radio now, as we used to say to our friend Ellie. You know, don't turn off the radio. Seek connection with the God of your understanding. I'm not forcing any God down your throat. If you don't have a God, feel free to use mine. You can say, hey, Beth's God, could you hook me up? And I believe my God will do that for you. But I'm not pushing any God. I think there's one true God, and that one true God will come and let you know what it is. And it will be something you can live with, not something you have to deal with. It will be something that will enhance your life, not something that will restrict your life.
Well, I can share with you that Elizabeth and I both share deep spiritual connections. They go by different names.
Absolutely.
But I believe Elizabeth considers hers the universe. I call mine God. We both get the same connection and relief from it.
Absolutely. And some of you listening are going, what are they talking about? Let me just go see a minister. Okay, then just go see a minister.
Absolutely.
If that's what you know, and you went to this church all your life, and you know, or this type of church, go to that type of church and ask the minister if you can have an appointment just to talk to him. But the deal is this. If you need help, if loneliness is a fact, let's start right there. Are you isolated and alone? If it's a fact in your life, you're going to need some help. I threw out a few different choices: therapy, counseling, EMDR, NET, support groups, a church, a higher power, going to the God of your understanding and asking. All of these will help for you. You know, if it's a feeling, this loneliness, and it's situational, it will come and go. But I want to ask you this. What are you doing with it? You may say, I'm doing nothing. But is that ever true? Doesn't your brain start asking questions? Well, you're lonely because you're a loser. You know, you're lonely because you're not worthy of love. Nobody, who would love you? Look at you. Look in the mirror at yourself. Who would want that? This is how we talk to ourselves sometimes. And when we get this feeling of loneliness, sometimes what starts to happen is that inner talk kind of gets going. And we start to believe things that are just contrived. They're not real. They're not facts. But we're believing them like they're really true.
Well, you know me, and we've had many discussions on, be very careful with what you link with your I am statements.
Oh, very, very careful. And that will be one we'll talk about later in the show, I hope, about some of us can use these I am statements to come out of this. And not all of us can. Some of us are like uncomfortable with that, but yeah.
But like with anything else,
but I am, how do you mean that, Lee? So give it to somebody who's never heard it before. I am.
Well, you know, I am worthless. I am so fat. I am ugly. I am so stupid. I am so, and you know, it's.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot, you know.
I'm not worth it.
Yeah.
You know, just, and what these are all, and you've heard me speak about it 100 times, these are all the lives of separation. They are the lives of separation. They are our issues telling us just those lies, that we are not worth it. Okay, the first step in what we're talking about, and in anything we speak about, is admitting. Taking it out, looking at it, and admitting it, and
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Because, you know, everybody listening to my voice was created for connection. So to think that you're not worthy of connection is wrong. I'm sorry, it's just a false statement. And if you're telling yourself that, who would want me? Who would want me? And there's a lot of you listening to me that have had that thought in your head, and I'm here to tell you, you're not alone. We've all had those thoughts in our head. And we had to learn that those thoughts are not friendly thoughts. Those are the words of ego, and they're lying to you. because you were created to be loved, and you're confusing this inner critic that starts talking in your head. You're confusing what that inner critic's saying with the truth, and that's holding you back. I mean, I am not a big affirmation user myself. I teach them, and I show people how to use affirmations because many people do benefit from them. Don't you agree?
Well, you know me, and every week I've been speaking about Beth, www.bethwe.com, and up on the top you will see on the bar, it is called...
The Victorious Prayer.
Victorious Prayer.
It says Victorious, I think.
Victorious, yeah. And it check it out. It is certainly worth a moment to look at.
But, you know, for affirmations, I've seen them work, and like you can say, I am enough. I am worthy of love, and I am able to love. That's what holds some of us back. I don't think I know how to love. You know, I am able to love, and I know how to love. I was born with that put in me. I've just never loosed it. I've never allowed it. I've never let it go, but I believe I was born to love. And at the very least, if the affirmations aren't your fort, pay attention to hear the voice of your inner critic and tell him or her to shut up. Be quiet. It's your head. Tell it to calm down.
I don't have to take everything I think at face value.
No. You know, that inner critic doesn't speak the truth. Recognize that. And it'll become, as you start to recognize it, it'll become almost funny. You'll be, oh my gosh, there I go again. I'm doing it again. I'm talking to myself like that again. What is up with that?
With the awareness.
Stop it. Yeah, just stop it. Because that's the problem. The problem is if it's a feeling and it's reinforced by words in your own head. Have you ever had that, Liz?
I have.
You know, and it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you an affirmation user?
Yeah.
Do you do well with them?
Working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's progress.
One of the things
perfection.
I turned Lizzie onto was the Tut.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah.
Oh, I get those emails.
Yeah. That's fun. At tut.com, there's some fun emails that come, and they're like messages from the universe. It's really fun. You get one every day in your little inbox.
It's just positive, and it feels good. You know, it's nice to wake up to something like that.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't have to be every day. You can set your preferences.
Yes, you can. You can get them just as you would like to. But that's the reality of it, is that we learn what we live, and we live what we learn. And so what you're saying to yourself matters. So the self-talk, it's one of the key points to overcoming loneliness, is to challenge the self-talk. Challenge it. What you just heard in your head, is it really true? And if it's not true, why don't you say that out loud? That wasn't true. That wasn't true. And eventually you'll be like, oh my gosh, that wasn't true either. That wasn't true, and this wasn't true, and ha 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 ha. Nothing's true that I think anymore.
And how strange that, you know, it seems to me that the people that are most judgmental tend to be that way most harshly with themselves.
Absolutely. You are your own worst critic.
Totally.
Yeah. So give yourself a break.
If anybody else said to me about what I say to me, I'd kick their butt.
And that's the reality of it. So we're talking today about overcoming loneliness. We're talking about solutions. Is it a fact? Is it a feeling? If it's a fact, get some help, okay? That's the first thing we want to say. Get some help. If it's a feeling, we got more ideas for you. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a little bit. We'll listen to the news. We'll come back with our five on five things to be grateful for.